On Thursday, December 12th, in the Orange County Register, in the Accent page, there's an interesting article called One Door at a Time. It's on the Jehovah Witnesses. And in the middle of this article, it says, the Jehovah Witnesses are saying what they believe. They reject the divinity of Jesus Christ and consider the Trinity, that God is three persons, a pagan invention not substantiated in the Bible. Also, as the article continues, it says, Jesus never claimed to be the equal of God. That's what it says, Orange County Register, Jehovah Witnesses. Well, I believe Jesus is God, and I believe that you cannot be a Christian unless you believe it. And anybody who does not believe that Jesus is God is going to be in hell, not in heaven. And that is a teaching of the Bible, and it is very important. Today I want to talk about the deity of Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. Who is He really? I believe He is God. Now, you have heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. These are the 12 points of the message. Why do we believe that Jesus is God? Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. And I'm going to give you 12 reasons. Why do we believe that Jesus is God? John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared or revealed Him. Will you join me, please, in prayer? Father, in these few moments together, help us to understand clearly what the Bible teaches about who Jesus Christ is. And may we come to understand that He is the God who made us. He is the God who was revealed to us. He is the God who can save us, the God who will give us everlasting life. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we believe that Jesus is God? Number one, because He's the Creator of all things. Last time I heard, God created everything. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Exodus 20, verse 11 says that everything, all things that are contained in the earth, all things, animals, plant life, geological matters, physical, material, universe, everything was created by God. Yet John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 says that He made everything, no matter whether it's principalities or powers or dominions or whatever it is, all was created by Jesus Christ and for Him. Why do I believe Jesus is God? Because the Bible point blank says He's the Creator of all things. And nothing was made, says John 1:3, that His own hand did not create. It is through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, says Hebrews 11:3. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the Creator of all things. So is the Father, and so is the Holy Spirit, for they're all God, not three gods, just one. who manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why do I believe Jesus is God? One, because he's the creator of all things. Number two, turn to Isaiah chapter 44. I believe Jesus is God because he is the first and the last. He is the first and the last. He is everything that can be said. He covers all of eternity in himself. He is the first and the last. In Isaiah 44:6, we read, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no what? There is no God." Now turn to Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. A week ago Saturday, it was my pleasure to meet a lady who was 30 years a Jehovah Witness. Her daughter, which attends here, has been praying for her for years, for she came to know Jesus Christ here in this ministry, and she has prayed for her mother for a long time. Not for 30 years, she's not quite that old. But her mother has been a Jehovah Witness all of her life. Yet this girl came to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. She's been praying for her mother and asked if she would just listen to Solid Rock Radio. That lady now has come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she said to me just a week ago Saturday, she said, "I'll tell you the truth, Pastor, don't you ever give up preaching that Jesus is God. There is no more important message for the entire world to hear. There is no salvation apart from that. And once you see it in the Bible, it absolutely blows you away. Jesus is God. It isn't my opinion about it. The Bible is clear. It says it over and over again in many ways. And it shows you how blind people can be by the God of this age. For the Bible tells us Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." Isaiah 44, "I am the first and the last." But look at Revelation, please, chapter 1. And we read in verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." Isaiah 44:6 says, "There is no God beside me." That's what it means when it says, "I'm the first and the last." Jesus quotes that about himself in Revelation 1:11. Look also at verse 17. He's quoted again, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Jesus uses that title of God himself in Isaiah 44:6 and applies it to himself. Why do we believe that Jesus is God? One, because he's the creator of all things. Two, because he is the first and the last. Number three, because he is the Word of God. Because he is the Word of God. Back to John 1:1 that we just read a moment ago. In John 1:1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God." Not was a God. There is no A in Greek. Was God. Doesn't say he was the God, as though there are others and he's one among many. There are no others. There's only one God. The Word was God. Well, who is the Word? Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Verse 15, "John bore witness of him." Verse 17, names him Jesus Christ. Folks, the Word is Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. It does not say he was flesh, which could be said about any of us. It said he became flesh. Very important word in Greek as well as English. It refers to a change of condition, not beginning to exist. It means he came into a change of condition. He was in existence but became flesh. It means he wasn't flesh before. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But the God who is spirit, who is invisible, who fills the universe with his presence, localized himself in a physical substance, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I believe Jesus is God? Because the Bible says he is the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. Turn over to 1 Timothy, please, chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 16. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Everybody knows it's a mystery. What is the mystery? God was manifested in the flesh. Some texts leave out the word God and just put the word who. But it still is a strong statement to Jesus Christ being manifested in the flesh. He was in existence previous and became flesh and dwelt among us. I think the King James is correct here. God was manifested in the flesh. God revealed himself in the physical body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we believe that Jesus is God? One, because he is the creator of all things. Two, because he's the first and the last. Three, because he's the Word of God. Number four, because he is worshipped by all the angels of God. Why do I believe Jesus is God? Because he is worshipped by all the angels of God. Turn please to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. By the way, a lady overheard a conversation in a beauty shop not too many weeks ago, as a gal here in our church was inviting a lady to come to our church, to visit our church. And the other gal was a Christian. She didn't know that she also went to our church. Heard quite an amusing little statement, because when she invited her to come, the gal spoke up and said, "Well, be sure to bring a Bible." Said, you're going to feel terrible if you go there without a Bible. And I got to thinking about that. You know, that could be embarrassing. Folks come to the church and they don't know they're supposed to bring a Bible. And maybe they don't own a Bible, don't have a Bible. We don't try to embarrass you if you don't have your Bible this morning. But you need to bring a Bible. And I thought myself as I was listening to that, what a compliment. What a compliment. You need to bring your Bible. Folks, it isn't what we think about Jesus Christ that counts. It isn't just discussing our own ideas and opinions. It's what does the Bible actually say about him? Look it up for yourself. Read it for yourself. Does the Bible say that Jesus is God? Well, I believe he's God because the Bible says he's to be worshipped by all the angels that God ever created. Look at Hebrews 1:6. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Turn to chapter 22 of Revelation. Chapter 22, and look at verse 8 and 9. Chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. John's received this enormous and majestic vision and panorama of the future. And naturally, he was quite impressed. And an angel had brought this message to him and was constantly discussing with him what to see and understand next. There are 44 distinct visions in the book of Revelation alone. Verse 8, now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship, what's the next word? God. Worship God. But Hebrews 1:6 says that the Father, when he brought him into the world, says, let all the angels of God worship him. That's why I believe he's God. Because the Bible tells us not to worship angels. We are only to worship God. And yet the Father instructs all the angels of God to worship him. Now turn to Revelation chapter 5. Just to show you how that worship goes on. In chapter 5, the scene is in heaven. And it speaks about all the angels of God. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Now that's a lot of angels. Millions of them. The highest mathematical number in the Greek language is 10,000. So they use the biggest number multiplied by itself to indicate an innumerable company of angels, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the, what? Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, speaking of demonic creatures, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Yes, I believe Jesus is God because he is worshipped by all the angels of God. Number five, I believe Jesus is God because his Father calls him God. Turn to Hebrews again, chapter 1. I believe Jesus is God because His Father calls Him God. Hebrews chapter 1. And look at verse 8. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But to the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness more than Your companions. There are not two gods, yet it looks like it. Your throne, O God, Father says to the Son. Yet the Father Himself calls Himself God in this verse. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You. God anoints God. Incredible. His Father calls Him God. God is not a title of a person. God is referring to the essence of what that person is. The person of the Father and the person of the Son and the person of the Holy Spirit are all God. God refers to who they are. God is what man is not. Man will never be God. And God is not merely a man. God became a man so that we could identify and understand what He is like. God became a man so He could die on the cross for our sins and pay the price of our sin that we could not pay. But God is not merely a man. God's presence fills the universe. There's nowhere you can run away from Him. If you ascend to heaven, He's there. If you make your bed in hell, He's there, says Psalm 139. He's omnipresent everywhere at once. He's omnipotent. There's nothing He cannot do. He's incomprehensible. You cannot understand Him. And the depths of knowing Him are not available to us. His ways are past finding out. His greatness is unsearchable. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Folks, Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but there are not three gods. There's only one God. If you have three people, three human beings, they are all human beings, but they are three separate personalities. Now, they're localized in bodily substances, so you can separate them. But each one of them is flesh, so to speak. The word flesh does not refer to the fact that they are separate people. It refers to what those people are made of. When we say what God is referring to what He is that man is not. Everything about His attributes, His abilities, and His greatness that make Him what He is. All of that applies to the Father, as well as the Son, as well as the Holy Spirit. And the Father says to the Son, in Hebrews 1:8, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Why do I believe Jesus is God? Number 6, stay right there in Hebrews 1. And look at verse 10. I believe that He is God because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 1:10. And the Father is still talking. You, Lord, He calls Him Lord, Jehovah, in the Old Testament from which it's quoted. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of Your hands. That was our first point. He's the Creator of all things. They will perish, but You remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not fail. Turn over to chapter 13 and look at verse 8. That passage, which is a quotation from both Psalm and Isaiah, speaks about the eternal God. And the Father says to the Son, it refers to the Son. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the world. In Hebrews 13:8, it confirms it. Jesus Christ, no doubt about what the verse is talking about, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad of that? He's the God who made the universe, and He's also the God who prays for me every day. He's also the God who saved me from my sins. He's also the God who's going to resurrect my body from the dead. He's also the God who's going to come back again. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why do I believe Jesus is God? One, because He's the Creator of all things. Two, because He's the first and the last. Three, because He's the Word of God. 4, because he's worshipped by all the angels of God. 5, because his Father calls him God. 6, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number 7, I believe Jesus is God because he is over all things and all people. He's over all. Turn to Romans chapter 9. There is no one higher than him. He is over all. You say, well, he said when he was on earth, my Father is greater than I. That is true. And his submission to the Father was a lesson for all of us to learn. And he willingly did it according to the Bible. He came to do the will of God, to teach us about how to submit to the will of God. But according to the Bible, the Father himself has placed all things under the authority and kingship and headship of Jesus Christ. In Romans 9:5, it says, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ or Messiah came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Romans 9:5 calls Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the eternally blessed God, and says he is over all. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Isn't this good exercise, turning the Bible pages? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians 1, verse 20. He is over all, our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Speaking about God's power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Far above all, he says. He put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, how can you get any better than that? Why do I believe Jesus is God? Because he's over all. Turn to Colossians, a couple books to the right, chapter 1, verse 15. He is over all. He is God. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things. In him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Why do I believe Jesus is God? Because he's over all. He's over all creation, says verse 15. There is nothing that isn't under him. He is God. Number 8, why do I believe Jesus is God? Because all the fullness of God dwells in him. Because all the fullness of God, whatever God is, all of it dwells in him. Look at chapter 1 of Colossians where we just read, verse 19. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Literally, all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him. Chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. Now, I like that. According to the Bible, I've got all I need to have when I get Jesus. I don't need anything else. You say, you need a lot, David. Hey, let me tell you something. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you finally arrived. The other day on a talk show, I was listening to some people who are into New Age Never Never Land. Man, you talk about people seeking for something. I felt sorry for them, really. And the longer they talked, the more it was evident that whatever they were looking for, they haven't got yet. And I was just listening to it, and I thought, what a frustrating way to live. Isn't it great to wake up in the morning that you've got it all? Amen? In a world that is just tearing up our self-esteem, more talk about it than ever before, isn't it great to look into the mirror in the midst of all the depressing things in life, including what you see in the mirror, and to say to yourself in the mirror, David, you got it all, man. Amen. Walk out of that home. I got it all. When I got Jesus Christ, I got everything I needed. My sufficiency is of the Lord. How about you? And I need to be reminded of that. Do you? Boy, all the time, man, I need to be reminded. I'm trusting in myself or what I can do or what I can't do or what's missing or isn't. Hey, you need to remember, when you got Jesus Christ, you got it all. Ephesians 1:3 says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't mean to be cocky or arrogant or facetious here, but I really believe that Christians need a new understanding of what's really important in their life. Hey, what's really important about me is Jesus Christ my Lord. That's what's really important. And you're looking at a man who really has it all together. Amen? You say, I saw you trip when you came out the platform. Hey, I got it all together, folks. And every believer here has it all together. Every believer here has everything you will ever need in this life. And our God can supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And a lot of us know this truth, but do not live in the light of it. Jesus Christ is all and in all. And you talk about what Christmas is all about. It is Christ. Jesus Christ. And He's everything. I believe He's God because He's the creator of all things. He's the first and the last. He's the Word of God. He's worshipped by all the angels of God. His Father calls Him God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, a statement referring to God, the unchangeable God. He is over all. All the fullness of God dwells in Him. And number 9, I believe He's a God. He is our God because He's called the true God. Jesus Christ is called the true God in the Bible. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Near the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 20. He is called the true God. All others are false. 1 John 5:20. It says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. By the way, I tell the story in this new little book, Jesus Christ, the Reason, about a JW teacher, started 17 Kingdom Halls. And we argued over a 2-year period of time about the Bible. He's now a pastor, by the way, of a Bible teaching church, has come to believe that Jesus is God. I remember the day that it really got to him. Man, you talk about, he's more wacko than I am. And he just shouted from the top of his voice. And he fell down on his knees in my living room and proclaimed Jesus Christ like Thomas did of old and said, my Lord and my God. He was born again. His life was changed. He started 17 Kingdom Halls dedicated to believing that Jesus was not God. Believing that everybody who thinks He is going to be in hell. And one day he fell on his knees and said, He's my Lord and my God. We argued over 1 John 5:20. This was the key verse that turned his heart. This is the true God and eternal life. He said to me, this is a pronoun. Amen. He said, a pronoun has to agree in gender and number with what it modifies. Yeah, we learned that in school, didn't we? Even about English. At least we should have. The pronoun is supposed to agree in gender. It's either masculine, feminine, or neuter. And in number, it has to be either singular or plural. The pronoun has to be exactly the same as the noun that it modifies. And like in English, also in Greek, it has to modify the noun that is closest to it. We call it the closest antecedent. He said, that's right. He says, well, what this refers to is eternal life, not Jesus Christ. I said, that's impossible. He said, why? I said, because eternal life is a feminine noun, and the word this is a masculine pronoun. It cannot refer, on the basis of your own argument, cannot refer to eternal life. He said, well, then what does it refer to? Well, the closest noun to the word this is the word Christ. How interesting. It's a masculine singular noun, and the pronoun is a masculine singular noun. Therefore, the word this has to refer to Christ. Therefore, this passage says that Christ is the true God. And there's no way of getting out of it. You may not believe that the Bible is correct. There's no way of escaping it. The Bible calls Jesus the true God. and that's why I believe Jesus is God. Number 10, turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I believe Jesus is God because he purchased the church with his own blood. Because he purchased the church with his own blood. A very interesting verse. Acts 20, verse 28. Paul is talking to some leaders from the church at Ephesus on the island of Miletus and admonishing them. He says in verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's our word for bishop. To shepherd, that's our word for pastor. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Who is the he? Well, we know it's Jesus Christ who died on the cross and shed his blood. The Bible says he purchased the church with his own blood. But it says the church of God, which he, God, purchased with his own blood. There's no mention here of Jesus Christ, except we know it's referring to Christ because he's the one who shed his blood. But here's a clear testimony to the fact that he is God. As a matter of fact, only God could have indeed had the kind of blood that would pay for the sins of the whole world, even people that would live hundreds of years in the future from the moment which he died. Only God could do that. He purchased with his own blood. God became flesh, shed his blood. There was no sin in him, says the Bible. We needed a sinless Savior so he didn't have to die for his own sin, to die for us. Only God could do that. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Yes, friends, Jesus is God because he purchased the church with his own blood. Acts 20:28 says so. Number 11, why do I believe that Jesus is God? Because he can forgive us our sins. I'm amazed at how many people want Jesus to forgive them of their sins, but don't also believe that he's God. Friends, only God can forgive your sins. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, chapter 2. And look at this interesting story about a man who was healed by Christ, who was a paralytic. Mark chapter 2. Why do I believe that Jesus is God? Because he can forgive us of our sins, and only God can do that. Mark chapter 2. You say, wait a minute. Don't we say to people who have offended us, I forgive you? Yes, we do, and we ought to. But my friends, only Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins. Because the word to forgive means to send away. If I say to you, I forgive you for what you've done, has your sin been taken away? No, you might feel better because I'm not going to keep a strained relationship with you. I'm going to say, it's okay what you did. I don't mind being hit on the head with a baseball bat. It's all right. No problem. Yeah, I know you're angry and hostile, and I felt like cleaning your clock. That's true. But I'm willing to forgive you and to end this. Now, has your sin been taken away? No. You just feel better now because I'm not going to hold it against you. Because you don't want to be hit on the head with a baseball bat by me when you're not looking. That's what we call revenge. So you want to be forgiving. You want to say, when somebody says to you, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Now, did that take away your sin? No. What takes away your sin? The Bible says he can remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. When you talk forgiveness, it means to send away. It's gone. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. God doesn't just forgive me in the sense that he says, well, just so we won't have a strained relationship when you come to me to pray tomorrow, it's okay, I forgive you, and we move on, just like we do. No, when God forgives us of our sin, folks, it's gone. Amen? It's gone. Now, there are plenty of other people to remind you that it's still around. There are folks who remind you, but I want you to know that every sin I have ever committed or ever can think of committing is already forgiven by our Lord because I've trusted what He did for me on the cross. Doesn't mean I'm not going to make some mistakes. Doesn't mean I'm not going to hurt people. Doesn't mean I'm not going to offend people. And doesn't mean I don't need to seek their forgiveness. What it means is that my sin has been removed in terms of the consequences of that sin. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I've been forgiven by what? By my own efforts? By my desire to get straightened out in my relationship with others? No! I've been forgiven on one basis alone. I'm trusting what Jesus Christ did 1900 years ago on the cross. I've often said, and I still believe, that understanding the Bible's doctrine of forgiveness of sin can set a Christian free like nothing else. No long counseling sessions that may help you to understand yourself and get freedom, none of that can possibly take away your sin. Did you know that? None of it. It may help you to understand yourself, understand situations. You may need counsel. Bible urges us to get counsel, but it does not take away your sin. Several years ago, I talked to a psychologist of a major firm in Southern California who was not a Christian, and he was giving, I thought, bad counsel to one of our church members, so we had a little argument on the phone, and it wasn't pleasant. I tried to be, but it just, you know, I lose it. I don't know what it is. I just lose it. I was so angry at what he was saying. But anyway, we were talking on the phone about counseling. He said people can be healed of all of their problems by the sheer principle of catharsis therapy. I said, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned the word catharsis. That's a great word. He said, you bet it is. I said, now catharsis to you is a person getting all their problems out and the psychologist helping them to, quote, be cleansed of everything. It's a Greek word. He said, that's right. I said, well, you know, it's interesting. The Bible talks about catharsis. He said, it does? I said, yes, it uses it all the time. But it never once says you get catharsis by talking it out. Well, how do you get catharsis in the Bible? I said, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It says when He had purged our sins. It's a Greek word, catharsis, Hebrews 1:3. The blood of Jesus Christ, catharsis, cleanses our sin. He takes it all away. Only He can do it. And that's totally outside of yourself. No action of yours, no discussion of yours, no understanding of yours can ever take away your sin. Only Jesus Christ can take away your sin. He is our catharsis. And I believe that He is God because He can forgive us our sins. Now, are you in Mark 2? I gave you plenty of time. Amen. Mark chapter 2. Verse 3, they came to Him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. When they could not come near Him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, notice the sick one didn't need the faith, like so many modern teachers say, God can heal you no matter whether you have faith or not. He isn't limited to your faith. And in this case, it was the faith of those who brought Him, not the sick one. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. He didn't say you're healed, walk, which you'll deal with in a moment. He said, first thing, son, your sins are forgiven you. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right. And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go your way to your house. And immediately arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Friends, Jesus Christ can forgive our sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In Colossians 1, 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. If I could forgive your sin, take it all away, whatever you've done wrong, whatever you thought, whatever you said, whatever you've done, if I could just take it away and guarantee it. Many of you say, hey, I got to have that now. Jesus Christ will forgive your sins the moment you trust Him and what He's already done for you at the cross. Imagine going to sleep at night and knowing that all of your sin has not only been forgiven, it was paid for when Jesus died on the cross and took your place and mine. Yes, Jesus is God, because only God can forgive sin. And one last thing, number 12. I believe Jesus is God because He can give us eternal life. And only God can give us eternal life. Turn to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. What have we said so far? Why do we believe that Jesus is God? Because He's the creator of all things? Because He's the first and the last? Because He is the Word of God? Because He is worshipped by all the angels of God? Because His Father calls Him God? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, a term that refers to the unchangeableness of God? Because He is over all, all the fullness of God dwells in Him? Because He's called the true God? Because He purchased the church with His own blood? Because He can forgive our sins? And number 12, because He can give us eternal life. John 10, verse 28. Jesus said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 33, the Jews answered him after he said, "Why do you want to stone me? For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Isn't it interesting that those who didn't believe what he was saying knew what he was saying more than we do today reading it 1900 years later? You may not agree with this, but understand the Bible is accurately reporting the situation. I know this is written by God, because if it was written by men, we would have all these guys believing it. No, the Bible records they didn't believe it. The religious leaders challenged him, and they accused him of blasphemy, which was the official reason why he was put on the cross, by the way. For making yourself to be God. They knew exactly what he's saying when it says, "I and the Father are one." Jehovah's Witness one day told me, "Well, that means one in spirit and attitude." Are you kidding? You don't stone people for that. When he said, "I and my Father are one," they knew exactly what he was saying. He was making himself out to be God. Yes, friends, I believe Jesus is God because he can give us eternal life. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. I was thinking about that this week and I got real excited. I guess it's a simple thing. It's like something you know, but it just hits you. You know, I got excited that I'm going to live forever. Amen. You know, sometimes you can think, well, yeah, God's going to do something in the future to make us live forever, and you don't think about it too much. But no, I'm talking about me, inside this body. Thank God I'll get a new one soon. But anyway, me, inside of here, I am literally going to live forever. I'm never going to be extinguished. They can never eliminate me. Did you know that? You say, "Oh, man, we're cursed with him forever." Folks, if you know the Lord, He's given you eternal life. It's not something that's going to come. The Bible says in 1 John 5, "This is the record that God has given us to eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has eternal life." Not going to have, you have it now. I'm going to live forever. And it just hit me. I went back and looked in the mirror again. Man. David, you are going to live forever. Now that can really get to you, folks. Past master charge. Amen. You're going to live forever. Why? Because Jesus gave me eternal life. Don't you understand why I love Him so much? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And He is my God. Let's close with prayer. Lord, you know how many folks here have really come to believe this. You said if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we would be saved. To believe He is Lord is to believe that He's God manifest in the flesh. the only one who can forgive our sins and give us eternal life. Lord, I pray that You'll encourage many folks right now to turn to the Lord before it's too late. May they, like Thomas, fall at His feet and say, "My Lord and my God." Cause people right now to want to make that commitment to Christ more than anything else in life. We thank You for what You're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.